Our gospel lesson text this morning is Joshua chapter 7. I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. It's found on page 155 if you're using the Bibles that are in your seats there. I'll give you a moment to locate that, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, this is God's word, eternally true. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries, and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore, unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, 'Consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward man by man. He who is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to God, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua, and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Here ends our reading. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and Father, you are God and not to be messed with. And we thank you for this reminder of who we are and who you are. Cause us to see the wisdom of your ways. Cause us to see how we need your covenant, the new covenant in your blood, Jesus. Cause us to see how we need your covenant community, the church, and how the church is affected by us. Cause us to see, Jesus, all that you have done for us in the gospel. Preach the gospel to us now through this your word, and by your Spirit work in great power in our souls. We pray, Jesus, in your name, for your sake, in the sake of your body, the church. Amen. Years ago, some of you are old enough, if you're probably high school or less, you may not remember this, but if you're above that, you probably remember the American Express commercials. And they had various celebrities who would come on and advertise for getting an American Express card. And, you know, the catchphrase was, "Membership," remember that? Yeah, "has its privileges." Membership has its privileges. And the message was, if you have an American Express card, that's a prestigious thing, and that there are privileges that come along with carrying this card in your wallet. Well, this passage this morning has so much that could be talked about, and we could spend 6 weeks in Sunday school, that's an hour each week, many sermons about this, but really at the base root is one point that God wants us to see here in his church. And this point is this: it's how desperately we need his church. How desperately we need to be a part of it, contributing to it, and how us being in it affects us and those we love and the church, the kingdom of Christ itself. Being in the United States, we're very individualistic. And so this passage comes to us and probably hits us as a strange thing, where maybe if we were someplace else, it wouldn't quite do that. You know, in Japan, the group mentality is very big, and you don't want to shame the group, and you as an individual are nothing, but the group is everything. In the United States, it's the opposite. The individual is everything, and the group is discarded if that doesn't suit the needs of the individual. You know, bring in there the LeBron James controversy and all that, him going to Miami from Cleveland. And we do it in our own vocations, don't we? No one would ever question us if we left one job for another job that had better benefits and better pay. Okay? It's very much an American thing. And we get to this passage here, and this strikes us as funny because God deals with us as a church, as a whole. And he deals with us not just as an individual who affects nothing, completely independent, but he deals with us as individuals who then in turn affect those who are around us, those we love, the church and the church as a whole. So as we look at this morning, we look and you see your gospel lesson here this morning is entitled Covenant Living, Loyalty and Life to Jesus. And it's really a passage here that talks about the importance of the church and why it's important for you to be in that covenant, in that church group, and why it's important for the church for you to see yourself as a loyal citizen of the kingdom of Christ. So a couple of things. First, a short point. Just a reminder for us as we've been going through Joshua and hearing this preaching from Joshua 1 through now Joshua 7 is this. God wants to remind us of this point. If you are a Christian today in 2011, Jesus is your king. If you're a Christian today, Jesus is your king. And we can't get away from this because this is what Jesus brings up. And if we really want to get serious about identifying how Jesus brings up the gospel, we see that he brings it up as, I am king. Hear the good news, he says. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's how John the Baptist leads. That's how he leads. And that's why Jesus is crucified. Are you then the king of the Jews? Jesus says, I am. That's the chief issue, and that strikes us funny because we're Americans and we don't know what to do with a king. We don't know what to do with a kingdom. We don't know why in the world having a king would be a good thing. But that's what Jesus brings forward, and so we need to not reorient Jesus toward us, but we need to reorient ourselves toward Jesus and how he displays the gospel. What he tells us is good news. So know this morning, that if you are a Christian, Jesus is your king, and that as a Christian, as Christians, we're to be people who are living as loyal citizens. As Christians, we're to be people who have a life aim of being a loyal citizen in Jesus' kingdom, over which Jesus is king. Where is Jesus? Jesus is in heaven. He's been ascended on high, and he has sat down at the right hand of God, and from that throne, he reigns over his people, the church. We read this morning in Adult Sunday School how Jesus is reigning now, but one day he will put all things under his feet, and the work will be done of crushing all that is against him. And when he does that, when his reign then is over, he will hand the kingdom over to his Father. So we note here that God, Jesus, is our King, and that we are called to live as loyal citizens. And that's really the issue with Achan, isn't it? He's not a loyal citizen. He's not one who keeps the covenant that God had made with his people. God said, I'm going to give you the land, but here's how you got to take it. And he gives them Deuteronomy 20. And if we didn't know this already, if you haven't been here in previous weeks, you know that the people in this land weren't nice, innocent people who were treating their neighbors well. These were people that God was using his people to judge, to extinguish for their wickedness. In fact, he had told Abraham in Genesis 15, I'm not going to give you the promised land now because the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full point. It's going to take 4 centuries or so for it to reach that point. But at that point, I will use your descendants to execute my judgment against the wickedness of this people. And so God tells his people when they come out of Egypt to do his justice and to wipe out completely all living things. And when they go into Jericho, he tells them, take no silver, take no gold, take no bronze, take no iron. Anything that is valuable belongs to me. Everything in the city of Jericho belongs to me. But Achan is not a loyal citizen of this covenant community. He's not a loyal kingdom member. And he takes some of the stuff. He sees some stuff that he likes. Something for Babylonia and some silver and some gold. And he takes it for himself. And he knows this is wrong. He's hidden it in his tent. He knows it's wrong, but he disobeys the laws of the king of Israel, who at this time is God himself. So we want to aim ourselves at being loyal citizens. That's part of the message of Achan here. Now, number two, as you follow along, if you like to fill out blanks in your outline, you can do that or you can just sit and listen. So Jesus is your king. Christians live as loyal citizens. And number two, as a loyal citizen in Jesus' kingdom, choose covenantal faithfulness. Choose faithfulness. Choose to be faithful in the covenant. Now, covenant's not a term we use a lot, but we do hear it a lot because Jesus uses it in the Lord's Supper. All right, got that today? He says, this is the new covenant in my blood, when he holds up that cup, doesn't he? This is the new covenant in my blood. And Jesus is pulling back from this Old Testament idea that his people, God's people, are in covenant with him. There's a covenant. There's an agreement. There are stipulations. There are laws, that kind of thing. And there are benefits that God as king gives his people. But we today in the church, being new covenant people, being in covenant with God, are to seek faithfulness in this covenant. Now, here are a few things about this. Why is the church important to you? Well, your A point there, through being a member of Jesus' new covenant and his blood, through being a member of this new covenant, is your blessing and your inheritance. You're being blessed by God, and you having an eternal inheritance depends absolutely on you being in this covenant. It depends absolutely in you being in this community of God's people, whether here or in another church somewhere. Jesus, as king, dies for his people. As we read at Christmas time, he comes to save his people from their sins. Those who are his people are saved from their sins. Those who are not his people are not saved from their sins. They're not covered by his blood. And so being a member of this covenant, of this community, that is your key to receiving God's blessing and inheritance. It worked out this way for Achan, didn't it? Verse 25. Okay? He does not receive blessing in verse 25, does he? He receives wrath. Neither does he receive his inheritance, which was plotted out for him. He was a member of the tribe of Judah, and there was a plot of land in the promised land that he and his descendants forever were going to inherit. And he and his descendants do not inherit this plot of land. They do not obtain their inheritance because Achan does not care about the covenant. He does not care about faithfulness to the covenant. He doesn't give a rip about what God said in Deuteronomy 20. He takes the silver, he takes the gold, he takes the item from Babylonia. So in God's covenant with Abraham, repeated to Moses and through him to Joshua and these people, as they follow this covenant, this was their ticket to blessing. This was their ticket to living in, for the rest of their lives, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of inheritance. So a couple of things for us. Number one in your outline there, A1, Jesus was faithful in his covenant with the Father. Okay. We want to realize this. Jesus upholds this idea of being in covenant with God the Father. For those of you who like theological things, first of all, Jesus is faithful to the covenant of redemption, which is basically where the Father and the Son agreed together to save a people, and that Jesus would be the king of this people. But Jesus is also faithful in another covenant that we spoke about in our declaration of our faith this morning, or the confession of our faith this morning. Jesus is faithful to the covenant of works. And God, as he had promised to Adam, life and inheritance through perfect faithfulness. Jesus takes that life, which we see in the resurrection and the ascension, through perfect obedience to God, his Father. So even though Jesus, in one sense, doesn't want to go to the cross and says, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup from me, Jesus does it anyway, because he's faithful to his Father. So Jesus is faithful in his covenant with the Father, and as a result, that's your blank, as a result, he has taken his inheritance and blessing. He's anti-Achan, so to speak. Through his faithfulness, he takes his blessing from the Father. His Father gives him a name that is above every name. And to him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. This is blessing. And Jesus takes his inheritance from the Father, who gives him a people for himself. Number two. So, first of all, we mentioned there that Jesus was faithful with his covenant, and as a result, he takes his inheritance and blessing. Number two, for you, the inheritance, the land of inheritance, is now the church. You inherit this. This is the place you can go and speak of Jesus and nobody will make fun of you. This is the place where others will minister to you. This is the place where your soul will be fed with the milk and honey of Scripture, and you'll be satisfied in the deepest parts of your being. So now this inheritance is the church, but upon death your inheritance is heaven. And Peter writes of that in 1 Peter 1:4, and Paul writes of that in Ephesians 1:14, that we have an inheritance in heaven. So when we die, our souls go and take this inheritance in heaven. But then, third level, upon Jesus' return, our inheritance is the new heavens and new earth. The Scripture tells us about this in 2 Peter 3 and in the later chapters of Revelation, that Jesus will return and he will make all things new. He will recreate and take away sin so that we don't have to live in agony or with disease or age anymore. So for us, the land of inheritance is before us, and the key to having this blessing on our lives today and in the future, the key to having our inheritance today and in the future, heaven and the new heavens and the new earth, is being in this covenant. Being a part of this covenant community. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? And that's B for you here. Two major aspects of faithful citizenship, loyalty to King Jesus. We see this acted out for us in the Old Testament. There are two major aspects to being loyal in the covenant, and they're these. One is worship. Worship. If God's people start worshiping someone else, they are unfaithful in the covenant. It's pretty easy to get, but it's true today. Worship. Okay, so in worship, we display honor to Jesus. Okay, and this is what we're supposed to do, verse 1 and verses 11 and 12 here. The good stuff, the valuable stuff gained in Jericho, is supposed to be given to God, to be put in the treasury of the tabernacle. To be given over, to say, God, you are worthy, you are valuable, you are worth this stuff. You are more valuable to me, God, than this silver, than this gold, than this beautiful item from Babylonia. OK, Okay, so being faithful in the covenant involves worship. And in fact, the whole idea of destroying every living being and burning everything in this town, it was the idea that God incorporates in the temple of the burnt offering. You give the animal up to the Lord. This animal that could have been of good work use to you on the farm. This animal that you could have eaten. You say, but God, you're worth more to me than the use I could have had for this animal. And to prove it, we're going to burn this whole bull up. A whole burnt offering. And so as they go through the promised land, these towns are whole burnt offerings given up to the Lord. It's an act of worship that they do this. So worship to Jesus, displaying honor to Jesus, is part of being a faithful citizen in this covenant nation. And in worship, second line there for you, in worship we are paying our tribute to the great King. In worship we come and pay our tribute to the great King. I mentioned this in adult Sunday school. One part of the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, I really like, is when they show the peoples from all the nations coming and giving their tribute to Pharaoh. The reason I like that is because that's a good example to us of what we do with Jesus. In worship, we come to Him. We rise up to Him. We bow before Him. And we offer to Him what's valuable. We declare His worth. Second part, second aspect of being a faithful citizen to King Jesus is obedience to King Jesus' laws. So number two, obedience to King Jesus' laws. Now let me qualify this. We're not saying if you're obedient, then God will love you. Now, God gives His law to His people after He saves them. So He saves them out of Egypt, and then He gives them His law on Sinai so they know who He is and how they might live in a way that doesn't destroy them and those around them. Okay, and so God is a loving Father, just as your mom and dad told you not to put your hand on the stove, not because then you would be their son or daughter if you didn't, but because you're their son or daughter, they love you and they tell you not to put your hand on the stove. God gives us His law. And He says, here's how you can live so that your life is blessed. So, obedience to King Jesus' laws. We see this in verse 11 here. That God is greatly offended that His laws are not followed. He has given them Jericho. He's given them this land that's east of the Jordan. And He's given them His law, and they're to follow His law in obedience in this covenant. So for us, that means we love God and neighbor. And we recognize that as we do this, it's the case that, you know, if someone makes a law, if you're a head of a situation at work and you say, okay, guys, here are the ground rules. Each time you finish this stage, I want you to come to me and show me what you've done, what work you've done. And you find out you've got a guy who's not doing that. In fact, he's not doing what you told him to do, but he's working on a different project. You know, that's offensive. And why is that offensive? Because you're in charge and he hasn't shown you respect. And that's what we do when we disobey a law. We disrespect the lawgiver and the lawmaker. That's what the Boston Tea Party was about, right? We didn't respect King George III. We didn't respect Parliament because they were taxing us so much. And to show our disrespect for the king, we threw the tea that he was taxing so highly into the Boston Harbor. Okay, but we don't want to do that with God, certainly. We want to show our God respect by obeying His laws. So these two major aspects of faithful citizenship, adherence to the covenant, Achan leaves behind. He does not devote these items to the worship of God, and he disobeys the covenant to give up all these things as commanded in Deuteronomy 20. So C, putting A and B together, it means this. You take hold of God's blessing for you. You take hold of God's inheritance for you. Maximally through your faithful membership in the new covenant kingdom of Jesus, which is the church. The church is important because through your involvement in it, you take that blessing that God has for you and you receive your inheritance in full. Now, D, and something that's very applicable to us in our individual lives as we go through each day of each week. D, if you step outside of good citizenship in the church, if you step outside of this loyalty marked by worship and obedience to the King, worship to the King, obedience to the King, if you step outside of good citizenship in the church, if you abandon, here's your blank, if you abandon worshiping God, and if you forsake your goal to be a loyal citizen to your King by aiming in your days to obey your King Jesus in loyalty, you are heading to ruin. You are heading to ruin. If you step outside of this practice of yours to worship King Jesus and to obey His laws which He has given there for you for your benefit, if you disregard Him, if you leave Him behind, you are headed to ruin. This is the message of Achan. You're headed to ruin, and here's to whom. Headed to ruin for you, for your family, and for the church. We see this in this passage, that our individual sin affects not only us in a bad way, we receive consequences of our sin, but it affects those who are around us. If I'm unfaithful to my wife, that doesn't just affect my soul. That doesn't just screw with my head. Okay? If I'm unfaithful to my wife, that affects my wife. That's a mark on her that will be with her the rest of her life. If I'm unfaithful to my wife, then that messes with all my kids who, you know, ask for the rest of their lives. And maybe some of you are in that spot and you're asking, you know, was I not worth it to my mom or my dad who went into unfaithfulness? Why didn't they think of me? Our sin affects not just us. It affects the people who are around us. And then beyond that, beyond it affecting those we love, it affects our church. It affects the honor of Jesus. And God wants us to think about that. God wants us to think about that when temptation comes. He wants us to think about that when we think about pursuing something that is outside of His law, His direction for us. God wants us to think about that when we think, oh, church isn't that important. I'm not going to devote myself to worshiping Him. So we see that in verses 24 to 26 and verses 4 and 5. We see it in Genesis 3, don't we? And we have in verse 21, in this passage, the same verbs that Adam used to describe his own sin in the Garden of Eden. He says, look at verse 21. I saw, I coveted, and I took. That's Adam. I saw this fruit. It was desirable to me. Then I ate of it. And we all know Adam's sin didn't just affect him. It affected all he loved, his descendants, all of us. Thanks, Adam. Although we would have done the same thing. It's affected the whole world. It's why we long for Jesus to return, because He's the second Adam who will reverse what the first Adam has done. But we see there this is a repetition. What Achan does is a repetition of what Adam has done and what we do each time we are unfaithful to the Lord, each time we sin. So this passage says to us, there's nothing for you out there outside of faithfulness to God, but ruin. Nothing for you out there. And if we were flippant, we would say to the person who's deciding to leave the confines of the church, well, good luck with that. But we know better than to say that, because there are real consequences. And because we care for that person who's about to say that. So we don't want to try our luck, so to speak, outside the church, because we see here that it's headed for ruin. Not only will you suffer for your decision, but also those around you will suffer for your decision. Those you love, your family, and the church will suffer too because of the decision you've made to be unfaithful. So here's the point. Flipping this over now onto the positive. What does this passage teach us about ourselves? Well, this passage teaches us that it's a fool's bet to head into sin. Look what Achan gives up. Look what Satan is able to buy him with. Achan could have had a lifetime of living in a land flowing of milk and honey. And by his faithfulness, he could have taken this inheritance not only for him, but for his kids and for his family and for all his descendants for as long as Israel owned that geographical land there. But instead, he gives it all up for this wedge. It was the wedge of gold and silver in this item from Babylonia. And when you are tempted, think about that. It's a short-term decision. It's giving up way too much. It's not very smart. So, as you view yourself in the moments of your days, in the days of your weeks, view yourself as a citizen of heaven. Don't just view yourself when temptation comes as an independent contractor who affects nothing. View yourself as a citizen of heaven. I need to stay in the covenant community to fully take my blessing and inheritance from God. I need to stay in the church. It's for my good. But also by my sin, the church can suffer. The people I love can suffer. So you bring into that decision as to whether to be faithful in the covenant or not, you bring in everybody around you, the church, in the name of Jesus. So view yourself as a citizen of heaven, seeking to be loyal to the church, like Jesus was, Garden of Gethsemane. If it were just up to him, he'd say, no thanks. He could have run faster than Superman, probably, I don't know, gotten out of there, gotten out of Dodge. But he doesn't, because he's not just thinking of himself when he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knows the cross is before him. He's thinking of the church. He's thinking of everyone he loves. And that's how we deal with temptation. Not like Achan, but like Jesus. My sin here will affect all I love around me. So seek to be loyal to the church by your good behavior. And seek to be loyal to its king. As we see there at the Philippians passage that Carl read for us. Seek to be loyal to the king. Follow this pattern, Paul says, that we have laid out for you. For your own sake, for the sake of your family, for the sake of everyone in the church. Stay in the covenant, be faithful to the covenant, and be loyal to your covenant king for his glory and for your own good. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are thankful that you sent Jesus, who was faithful to the covenant, who was not an Achan, who was not an Adam, but who was faithful for our sake. Help us to see that our blessing and inheritance is found nowhere but in this, your covenant community, the church, and through our membership in it. Thank you for the goodness, the blessing that you give to us through the church. Help us to be good, faithful, loyal church members and citizens for the sake of those who are around us, and that you might be glorified. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.